You're listening to Munch, a podcast and website devoted to food and film. I'm your captain, Ben Blondhair.
Yarr, it's Andre.
I can't do it, you guys.
Oh my gosh, typical. That was so solid.
Typical.
That was solid, Leanna.
I didn't have time to think about it. I was distracted, and then it happened. And
pirates live in the moment.
I don't think I'm a pirate. I think I'm more of an Elizabeth Swan.
She says she's a pirate.
She adopted the pirate life.
But
the pirate life didn't choose her. She chose the pirate life.
She's still a proper Victorian lady.
In many ways, she's not.
All right, so
I would say she's a proper Victorian lady with pirate tendencies.
Okay.
Okay.
I relate more to that.
I think that's fair.
Sure.
So this is Leanna.
So
I don't think I properly introduced myself.
Thank you for that.
The Elizabeth Swan introduction would have been like, and in so forth as what you may want to call me, I might call it myself Elizabeth Swan, a swan song.
She added a couple words too many on multiple occasions.
That was so accurate. I never would have been able to come up with that many words.
You pulled that out real quickly. Yeah. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, well, this movie gave me inspiration.
All right, so if you haven't caught on at this point, we just watched Pirates of the Caribbean. Hey, a new Pirates of the Caribbean film is coming out all of these years later, an unnecessary addition to the Pirates of the Caribbean canon. Yet here we are, Dead Men Tell No Tales, as I think.
Dead guys.
Dead boys tell no tales.
Dead guy boys tell no tales. Is the upcoming film in this long franchise based off of a Disneyland ride.
Is it truly based off of the Disneyland ride?
It is for sure based off the Disneyland ride.
Is that? Okay.
I want to be in the board meeting where they were like, we need a new summer blockbuster idea. And someone raised their hand and they were like, my family and I just went to Disneyland, and we went on a ride, and it was called Pirates of the Caribbean.
It's a very bold choice. But, like, when you think about it, when you actually think about it, the storyline of the ride, like, is already in there. It just needed fleshing out in a lot of ways. Like, you are, so to start out, you're kind of, alright.
You're not wrong. I just can't imagine turning to Walt Disney in a boardroom over, like, croissant sandwiches and being like, I want to make a movie. The next summer blockbuster is going to be off of the ride Pirates of the Caribbean. Are you in? And everyone was just like, yes.
I could be wrong in this, but I think Walt Disney's dead.
How about, yeah, you're right. Here's what also might have happened.
But what would Walt think?
So one exec says to another exec in the meeting, you know how every single ride in Disneyland is based off a Disney movie? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, gotcha. Because remember, Pirates of the Caribbean is not based off a movie. That's just a ride we have in the park. And the exec's like, oh, shit.
Do you think
we need to make a movie? We got to do some retconning on this ride.
Follow-up question.
Yeah.
Do you think the fact that they built Pirates of the Caribbean was a long con into them making the movie?
Maybe. Maybe no, like the movie was supposed to come out first and it just was in production hell and the ride came out like
Johnny
10
Depp
years early.
Johnny Depp was just impossible to work with.
Yeah.
And our boy Orlando just like his schedule was pretty booked up with Lord of the Rings and so they had to push it back.
Yeah. That's probably it.
Checks
like,
out.
Or it was like supposed to be Michael Keaton, but it's like been delayed so long they had to get a new actor.
Can you imagine Michael Keaton as Captain
yes,
Jack Sparrow?
I can
too.
Yeah. It'd be great. This isn't normally how we start.
No.
This is a weird start. But also, all right, the opening date for Pirates of the Caribbean was 1967. So this was a very long production schedule.
You mean a very long con.
Oh, a very long con, too.
Like 10.
But let's talk about the ride real quick, because I think this will set up the storyline as a whole. So, oddly enough, in the ride, I feel like it starts out in what I would describe as, like, Georgia South kind of style, lagoons, and
it feels like a plantation.
It really does.
Well, that's a lot of the Caribbean was.
And what's the Blue Lagoon Cafe?
Oh, in Disneyland.
In Disneyland. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like that is right there.
Yes.
But then you are immediately transported to, like it's probably a good stepping stone to where you actually get transported to, which is even farther back, maybe 18th century. You are sitting in a boat as you watch the story unfold around you as pirates attack a small island, pillage it for all it's worth, take all its money. But then as you dive deeper into the story, you find out that there's actually a curse that has afflicted the pirates themselves. Mm-hmm. And that that curse specifically is that they're actually skeletons still trying to live human lives, which is why you see the moments where a skeleton's trying to drink wine or rum. You see the skeleton, captaining a ship. And while you never get the resolution of what that story is, I think rightly so, whoever came up with this idea was very smart in thinking that, like, yeah, there's actually a story here and a kind of an interesting story here. And I imagine that person just went through that ride over and over again and was like, there's something here. And this was the culmination of all that,
or it was a long con.
Or it was a long con. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's one or the other.
I mean, if we want...
I think it was a long con.
I would love to read the original script of this if it was a long con.
Like, I almost feel like the creator of Pirates of the Caribbean left a National Treasure-style clue when they died about, like, what the true story was. Andre, you're looking at me like I'm going off the deep end.
You were not the original wrong. After credit sequence.
Yes. So they die, and then like all these people are at the funeral, like all these Disney workers are at the funeral, and they're like, oh my god, like they made such a great ride. Like, how will their legacy live on? And then like someone is like doing a reading out of a book that they were asked to read at this person's funeral, and a note drops out and it says like something like, why are the skeletons? I don't know.
What does it say, Leanna?
I don't know.
Why are the skeletons?
Like, ask why the skeletons are there.
Like, okay. I think it'd probably be something along the lines of, yarr, why are the skeletons be there?
Yeah, and it's like, it's written in like a penmanship, like a quill.
Yes.
Yeah, or that kind of.
I'm why, actually really why, into this idea.
Why is
and all so the And gone? So immediately, like, okay. At the funeral, the National Treasure style hunt begins, and everyone's like, we're done mourning. We're going to get to the bottom of this.
While we should leave National Treasure out of it just because it's a bad film,
so bad.
I think you're onto something because there's been quite a lot of myths and urban legends about the Pirates of the Caribbean ride itself. Mm-hmm. Like, there's supposedly this idea of a lot of small kind of tidbits or folktales and things hidden in the ride itself. So much so that, like, there's the idea that there's an almost skeletal child hidden in the shadows of the scene where the prisoners are trying to get the bone to the dog.
So
there's an urban legend about Walt Disney being cryogenically frozen underneath the Pirates of the Caribbean ride itself.
I'm going to need us to get a sponsored trip to Disneyland, like, as soon as possible.
We need to get to the bottom of this.
We've uncovered something that goes beyond this blog.
It goes beyond us, in all honesty.
But I think we're the right people for the job. Mm-hmm. So someone please sponsor this trip.
There's not many people.
I also just really want to go to Disneyland.
There's not many people ripe for this job, but we are for sure.
We recently watched National Treasure, so like we're ready to find the clues and to make clues out of anything.
We're basically National Treasure hunters, if I've ever seen any.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, looking out for those sponsorships.
Yeah, so Disneyland.
Get at us.
As always.
With those. Yeah. Like, I would take payments in Dole Whips, if I'm being real.
Oh, Dole Whips are so good. Yeah. When was the last time you had a Dole Whip?
Like, a long time.
I think it would have been Surf Ninjas.
I mean, a real Dole Whip. Not that ours wasn't bad.
It was pretty good.
You've never had a Dole Whip?
No, I don't think
so. Oh man, Andre, you are missing out. It's
even yeah. One more reason.
It is one of the best food items in Disneyland. Yeah. Which also says something about the food in Disneyland. But it is also really good.
It is good.
It is one of the food items I will be okay eating within Disneyland. Okay. There's a lot of disappointing things.
Should we talk about the food that we made tonight?
What a great segue, Leanna.
Yeah. Right?
So.
She's savvy.
Unsurprisingly, this blog isn't just about movies. We are also about food. So to talk us through the appetizer and just the general concept for our food as a whole is Andre.
Well, the concept was rum and rum and everything and yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum. We just wanted everything in rum.
I think we killed three bottles tonight.
Well, okay. But we didn't start three bottles.
Yes.
We had...
clarification. Yeah.
Details.
Yeah. We had a lot of half-empty rum bottles or less, and we finished like three of them. For the appetizer, we did some beans roasted. Like, they were baked beans. Yeah. Okay. How to explain that? Yeah. Okay. They were black beans, and we baked them, and we thought, wow, these taste a lot like baked beans. And we thought about what we did to the beans and how they ended up becoming what they were and how we had baked them. And then we realized, oh, they taste like baked beans because we baked some beans. With rum and with honey and with chorizo.
Almost like they were called honey rum baked beans.
Yeah, almost like that. But... definitely tasted like baked beans.
Yeah. So we are on record for saying that they tasted like baked beans.
They were good. Also, good. I don't know if we mentioned that, but they were very good.
They were very good. We found
they're better than most canned baked beans I've had before.
Andre, you're not setting the bar very high for our cooking.
Yeah. I really like baked beans.
Yeah,
so
I know.
I am.
But if you're saying it's like canned baked beans, like I wonder what.
No, I can't think of like a homemade, I don't think I've ever had homemade baked beans before. Which okay. Maybe so why that's I was so surprised that I took beans out of the oven and they taste like baked beans. And I thought, oh, that's why they call them that.
Cause they're baked.
Andre had a pivotal moment tonight in his perception of baked beans. And we're capturing that right now.
Yeah.
Maybe we should move on to the Andre.
We've captured a lot of moments, over the course of Munch, your wedding.
Yes.
Other things. One of them being Andre's realization that beans that are baked are baked beans.
Well, they taste like baked beans.
So for the entree, in the style of Pirates of the Caribbean being a very key aspect of it, there is a local sandwich shop called Paseo in Seattle that is somewhat of a local phenomenon. Like, it was recently closed, and it went through a large hubbub about it, and then it's now open with more locations than when it closed with, and it is well-known and liked, and so we attempted to follow what their signature sandwich is, with some alterations, going instead of a pork dish, instead going for a chicken dish. So what we have is
they have a sandwich called Smokin' Thighs.
They're chicken thighs.
That's what we...
Yeah,
news to me.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's really
Do you good. Only ever get the pork one?
I've only ever gotten one sandwich from there, so I don't have a lot of experience.
So we were imitating Smokin' Thighs instead of the pork one.
But just with the toppings of the pork one?
Or they have the same toppings. The same toppings.
Oh, yep. Really?
Yeah, the difference is the protein.
Interesting.
Surprise!
Yeah. Okay, well, that's all cleared up for me. So, in addition,
Ben's making his breakthrough.
I would like to say we run a tight ship here.
Leanna coming in with the ship and pirate related puns. Yes. But also on the sandwich, we had some delicious sauteed onions, a
garlic mayo.
Garlic mayo, that is for sure. And then we had a rum kind of skillet cooked chicken skin on thigh that was really tasty. It had kind of a hint of a citrus, a lot of other nice flavors in there. And then top that all off with some pickled jalapenos, all coming together to make a really good sandwich that was like equal parts, had its moments of spicy, the acidity from the pickles kind of pairs nicely with the sweetness of the chicken. And it just kind of brings it all together.
It was great.
Yeah, it was. It was
and
really nice.
Not nearly as greasy as the ones Paseo serves.
Yes. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
But we actually didn't eat it in this order. We actually started with dessert, of all things.
Backwards dinner.
Leanna, do you want to run us through that?
Yeah, we. I came up, I think, with the idea of us doing Bananas Foster for this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, we were looking for dishes that all involved rum. And so I stumbled upon this idea of like rum Bananas Foster. But instead of sticking with plain bananas, we actually did plantains. And we cooked them in coconut oil, rum, brown sugar. It was very delicious. They're very starchy. I really wasn't prepared for that. They're such an interesting...
just kind of are.
Fruit? Are they a fruit?
I think they're technically a fruit.
Because they're so closely related to bananas.
And the seeds are like on the inside. I think that is the... I don't know what the clarification between fruit and vegetables.
I don't know either. But we served it with some vanilla bean ice cream and... with a healthy serving of extra brown sugar rum syrup.
Very needed, if I may be so bold.
Yeah.
Well, the plantains aren't very sweet, unlike a banana, so you have to
add that sweetness. They're not as soft and squishy as bananas, right. So you really need that extra.
I think our plantains also weren't, like, extremely ripe. The recipe did call for very ripe plantains, and there was kind of a line in it as well saying that, like, you really need very ripe plantains for this. And I think ours were...
How do you tell if a plantain is ripe?
Starts to
get
brown.
Yeah, they were talking about the plantain being very brown.
Oh, like banana bread. Like...
Yes, banana bread brown.
Yeah.
Is kind of what you're looking for in this situation.
Okay.
Note
for next time.
It's always hard to get ripe fruit at the grocery store.
The day of.
The day of, yeah.
Yeah. And that's... I'll admit that that's on us.
That's on us. Yeah.
That's on us. And for the drink itself... we find ourselves in some stormy situations in this film for a variety of reasons. So what better reason to continue the rum theme and make ourselves some delicious dark and stormy? Something very simple. We can all enjoy it. Some ginger beer, rum, lime.
Period.
Yeah, it was delicious. It was really good. Yeah,
it is.
It's a good drink.
It is a good drink, and I'm surprised I don't have it more often, because it's very satisfying.
Rum.
No, we don't drink rum. I actually don't think I have rum in my household.
We don't either now, because we drank it all.
We do.
We have black rum.
Yeah, we have the blackstrap rum.
Oh, good.
And we still have Bacardi.
Oh, I'm so glad.
You can always party with Bacardi, that's what I always say.
Is it?
Starting today. I'm going to always say that.
Maybe it should be a copyright for them, because that's a decent line.
Yeah, that's like a Pirates of the Caribbean style rhyme line.
Talk me through that one.
In Pirates of the Caribbean, it's a very popular to repeat a line with different meaning. Bacardi, party, is close enough, similar enough sounding that you could see it showing up in Pirates of the Caribbean. Next to each other.
But I think in Pirates of the Caribbean, the way it would be delivered is someone would say, it's always a party with Bacardi. And then someone else would say, with Bacardi, it is a party.
Yeah.
Like, always. That's how they would kind of turn it around. So you wouldn't quite realize they just said the same thing, but in a different order. But then you might realize a little bit later, like, wait, that wasn't an entirely new line.
Yeah, I think one of our, like, key moments in this viewing of Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, was our experience seeing kind of the repetition and duality present throughout this film. Like, I think not, like, I don't think 10 minutes went by before a line or phrase was repeated or altered slightly. And we were actually talking about, what if we saw this script? And to what extent would this script be redundant? Like, you could probably cut the script in half and have the same film, but lose half the lines. And you wouldn't lose anything in the course.
You might lose a couple characters, but I'd also be okay with that.
There's nothing inherently wrong with this style of writing. Like, this is comedy. Like, this is a form of comedy where you, like, say a line... And it's got kind of like these base expectations about what that means. And then you like work a little further and redefine the viewer's expectations. And then when you deliver that line again, it means something different to the viewer and it's funnier. Like I'm thinking of Jim Gaffigan has this really famous piece where he like keeps repeating Hot Pockets like over and over. And it's funny. And you see that in comedy all the time where like it's often their final piece where they say a line and then they'll tell a whole story and they say the line again and it's a lot funnier the second time. But Pirates of the Caribbean does it like Ben said, every 10 minutes they're doing like the same kind of joke setup.
The difference is timing. Yeah. Like with, yeah. with Jim Gaffigan, like you're describing, is he goes hard on that line early yeah. on and then breaks yeah. for a long time. And then all of a sudden he ends on it and you cannot believe he made it back to that line and it made sense and it was funny. And like, yeah. that's how it hits home. But with Pirates of the Caribbean, it was like, it doesn't give you any time to breathe between the line. They say mm-hmm. it back to back or in such rapid succession that it's not funny because you're like, you're just repeating the line that was just delivered. Like,
yeah.
I'm here. I'm listening. Why are you just saying the same thing twice?
In a 2 hour and 23 minute movie, it's especially unforgivable. Like you don't need that extra padding.
Yeah.
Using the same line twice.
Yeah. Like
say what you want to say once and just, you know, that's enough.
It's great the first couple times because it's like, that's kind of smart. Yeah. Like whoever came up with that, like that's a nice joke structure. And then the 17th time it happens, you're like,
Or if they just, if they just did the gag like once or twice, it would still be funny, but every joke relied on that same humor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I think it would be really interesting to look into the writer of this film. Then dive into his films as a whole and see if this is a structure that appears across all of his films.
Yeah.
Just because it's such a distinct style and calling card and it was used to such an extensive effect in this film.
This is another reason why I want to watch the second movie. Just, I don't know if they have the same writer. I could probably have Googled that before we started recording, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be, and even if it is the same writer, I would be interested to see if the same comedic technique is used.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be interesting. I wonder if the second movie is as long as the first one.
I really want to watch it.
Davy Jones' Locker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Kraken is in it. There's that whole complicated game with the dice.
The complicated game with the dice?
Yeah, and there's all these people that look like sea creatures and... like, the love story continues.
The love story most definitely. So neither of you have seen the third film?
I don't think so.
I don't Okay, because that's kind of like the culmination of the love story.
I
already felt it was culminated.
Them. No, like, it's not.
They got together. They were.
Do you want to take some guesses on what happens in the third film?
Yeah, I do.
Someone says yo-ho-ho in a bottle of rum.
Okay, I do. I do want to take some guesses.
Because I, like... knowing...
But don't tell me. I want to watch it.
Okay, so you don't want me to actually...
We'll check in on a future podcast and we'll be like, boop, 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 boop. It's check-in time. And you'll be like, Lee and I heard that you just watched those movies. Like, let's see if you were right.
Oh, so you do plan on watching them.
She plans on watching them. I would actually love to hear what you think about it all these years.
No, I'm going to watch them.
Like, going back to this series, which is another thing we'll talk about in a short bit.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
When these movies first came out, and I don't know why this is the case, I was very enamored with the love story between Will Turner and Elizabeth Swann.
Mm. I mean, they're a beautiful couple.
They're good-looking
people. They're kind of cute.
Elizabeth Swann is also a badass.
They're also good-looking people.
Yes.
That's, yeah, probably it.
You know another thing about them? They're good-looking people.
Yeah.
Works in their favor.
Our boy
what
Orlando.
Else? Like, they have nothing else going for them.
Our boy Bloom.
They're both pretty brave people.
Yeah, but, I mean, as far as their relationship together goes, like, why are they so drawn to each other?
Because they're good-looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'll be... like, there's not much more. Like, when you're on an island called Port Royal, it's small... there's only so many options.
Mm-hmm.
Like, You're not going to marry Captain Norrington. You're going to go for...
I was going to say, her other option wasn't that great.
Yeah.
No. Like, but you saw his wig.
If we're being honest.
Not having it.
He was lacking in quite a few departments.
So I remember at the end of the second movie, there's something that happens that results in Orlando Bloom taking over the ship that can only, like, land... once every 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he, like...
Follow that.
It ends with him, like, showing up and, like, she's waiting on the shore with their son. That's
the end of the third film.
Oh, that's the third film?
Yeah, that's the end of the third film. You've seen the third film.
So what's the point of...
Then what happens in the second film?
The end of the second film is Johnny Depp jumping into the mouth of the monster. And it's kind of just like a harsh cut. Where you are left unsatisfied until you see the third film.
I have to watch these films.
Yeah, these are just like scenes out of nowhere. I don't know.
I mean, to be honest, the second and third film are like pretty, like the third film I barely remember. But both of those films are pretty forgettable. In my memory. I would love to hear your experience rewatching them.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. We can move on now. Clearly I don't know what I'm talking about. But I did watch this film.
Yes.
And I do have some thoughts about it.
Talk about them.
Yeah, so I think we should talk about our experience, like, because when Pirates of the Caribbean first came out, it was a monumental success. The franchise has gone on to make $3.4 billion, perhaps more at this point. But it was kind of a landmark moment for Johnny Depp, Disney to a certain extent. And I think...
And Keira Knightley.
Yeah, so I
she was in Star Wars before this.
Very important.
Yeah.
She was?
Yeah. Yes.
She was Anakin's love interest, Padme.
That wasn't Keira Knightley.
Yeah, it was.
Natalie Portman.
I get those two confused all the time.
Yeah.
They look very similar.
No, they don't.
Agree to disagree.
I can understand, like, they
have a similar hair.
They
color.
Were white women in similar roles at around the same time, but Natalie Portman always
isn't
did bigger
British
roles.
Also.
Yeah, and did bigger
you
roles.
You can do an accent for a movie. People do it.
Keira Knightley's
often.
Like very British.
And she was in Beckham, so that's kind of like the end-all be-all.
That's
so
very true. That's a movie we should watch.
We should definitely watch that. I would actually be really interested.
I would love to do that. Anyway, back to the movie we did watch. We're having a hard time staying on track with this film.
Right, that's a good... I mean, that's a good rule of thumb for any Munch podcast, us trying to stay on track.
Right, yeah.
But yes, yeah, so... Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl. Should we go around the room and talk about what our experience was on our very first viewing when we were impressionable 13-year-olds, if we were that age, when this came out? I think that's when this came out.
Yeah, 2003.
And then just kind of open up to talk about our experience watching it now.
I thought pirates were cool when I was 13, and I enjoyed the movie.
Yeah. And
didn't mean anything especially special to me.
Okay.
So, watching it again...
Did you see it in theaters? Were you with
people?
Yeah,
I think so. Like, this movie was not a standout moment in my childhood where I was like, oh, I'll always remember the day I saw Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl. I assume I saw it in theaters. I don't know. But, yeah, I thought it was fun and funny and... about the same watching it a second time, although I guess my bar is a little higher, and I still enjoyed watching it, but I don't know, it wasn't a special moment for me watching it the first time, and it wasn't a special moment for me rewatching it, so it was just a enjoyable action pirate movie, and pirates are cool. I still feel
pirates
that way
are still
so
cool.
Yeah.
All right. I think for me, it lined up with enough other things to where it was a little bit more of a unique moment. So I can remember I was in the States at this... Like, I lived in Japan when this came out, but I was in the States at this moment, probably in Ohio visiting my grandma. So
I remember it a little bit more going to the theater and actually watching this and having it be a relatively empty theater. And also at this time being like just on the cusp and surprised that my mom was allowing me to go see a PG-13 film of all things.
Yeah.
Because we would have been 13.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But also,
that's actually kind of interesting. Yeah.
Like, but also my parents were always like very reluctant to show me PG-13 films of any kind.
Yep.
So this was a very interesting and memorable moment for me. And I actually remember really enjoying this film and have seen it multiple times since then. But I remember it being a fun combination of comedy, action, and just like an interesting setting and an interesting storyline. And I think it holds up relatively well, with some reservations that I think we'll get into. Leanna?
I think I saw this movie with my parents, and I don't remember if it was in theaters or if it was the type of movie that we got on Netflix and then watched in our like home theater, but I'm fairly certain that I saw it with them. But I also know that we own it on DVD, so I've seen it so many times, and I remember always thinking that Johnny Depp especially like made this film and that he was really, really funny. And there were still some lines this time around that made me laugh, but there were also times where like he, and I have this problem with other characters in the film too, where I felt like they just like would go between two extremes where they're like Johnny Depp, for example, like his character, Captain Jack Sparrow, is sometimes this ridiculous goofball with these lines and he always acts like he's drunk and it's funny, and like when you're 13 and you see someone act like they're drunk, like it's the most hilarious thing. But then there's other times where he's like a huge creep and like totally weird and uncomfortable, and yeah. And I didn't like watching that this time around. So I don't know, like I saw in it what attracted me as a 13-year-old, like why I thought this was a good film, because I definitely used to really like it, and that's, I remember being very excited for the second and apparently the third film because I saw that too. But this time around, I still like feel very interested in the lore and the story and like getting to the bottom of all these mysteries.
I mean, it feels relatively unique even in this day and age. Mm-hmm. It's not like you don't get many pirate
movies,
stories,
right?
All too often.
Yeah. Although there was no pirating that happened in the movie.
What would be your description of pirating?
Like looting, plundering. Like,
there was some looting and plundering. The entire attack on Port Royal was some looting and plundering.
Yeah, but that was like not really pirating, and more so like skeletons trying to lift a curse. Like that's really what was going on in that scene. Like, they didn't take anything with them other than the girl who they thought was going to be able to lift the curse.
As like, far as we know. Like,
it's
they focused on
the
girl. It's
a PG-13 movie. There's only so much looting and plundering that you can show.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, like, pirates is the first name, like, the first word in the title.
Yeah.
And there's not a whole lot of, like, pirating that happens in the movie. I guess they steal the boat. That's the pirate moment, is when Johnny Depp and Orlando Bloom steal the boat from the Navy.
They're pretty much pirates, though. Like,
there's
they
also
are for
a lot
sure
of,
going
like,
for like the idea
of they're going for the idea of pirates, but they don't ever like do pirate things except for stealing the boat that one time.
Well, those are pretty mundane pirate things. Like, these are like seasoned pirates that have a curse on them that are after bigger things.
Right.
Yeah, like these are,
yeah, these are the pirates of,
like,
the Caribbean.
Do you actually want to watch a movie about pirates doing pirate shit? Like, no, you don't. You want to watch pirates that have a curse, that are after like treasure from the Aztecs, that have the entire like British Royal Navy chasing it. That's what you want to watch. Like,
yeah.
You don't just want to watch this crew of pirates like go plunder a town.
I don't know. I really enjoyed what was that movie with the pirates that came out pretty recently?
With Captain Phillips?
Yeah, that one.
Oh my gosh.
It's a very different
pirate. I was going, like, earlier when we were talking about pirate films and pirate themes in films, I was like, well, there hasn't really been too many.
Captain
and then
Phillips,
I, like,
yeah,
thought very specifically about Captain Phillips, and I was like,
I'm just going to push that one off to the side.
That's the only other, like, big pirate movie that's come out recently. There's Pirate Radio, but again, not quite the same thing.
Yeah.
Just because it's the first word in the title doesn't mean there's any actual
But still, there's not a lot of pirate stories in media. Not that it needs to be something that specifically needs to be represented or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm really asking for that.
But it feels unique and different and interesting.
Yeah, I like the universe that exists.
And to see Jack Sparrow as a character, like, that feels relatively fresh. And, like, coming off this film, his... if we want to call it celebrity stock, rose incredibly because of this, even if he was already a big actor before this. But, like, and I'm going to make another reference here to Portal in the video game. After Portal came out, there was all this commentary and kind of referencing to the idea of the cake is a lie. And I feel like Pirates of the Caribbean is done a disservice by how often people referenced Jack Sparrow's lines in this film itself. And so when we hear it now, like, it doesn't have the same impact it had the first time we heard it. And, like, it almost kind of comes off as a little bit of a cliche at this point.
It was so overdone. Like, there was a girl in my high school who would say, "Hello, Poppet," to us all the time. And it just wasn't cute anymore. And it was just annoying. And yeah, like that. I mean, when you say that, like, that specifically is what comes to mind, where it was like, it was this line that was so well known. And he doesn't even say that, actually. That was like a different pirate line. But there were still other lines from this film where over the years, like, there's been some dust that has, like, settled over this franchise, I think.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting that they want to revive it. Who knows? Maybe it'll be good. Maybe not.
We'll see. I'm not that excited about
it. I don't think we will see. I don't think I'm going to go see it.
Yeah, especially now with Johnny Depp at the helm and everything that's come out about him, his character, his history of abuse to women and things like that. It's like it's understandably not as easy to, like, cheer for him. And also that character has been kind of... we've seen so much of it, and it's been satirized to death. And I'm not excited to dive back into that character, even if I would be excited to dive back into that world itself.
Yeah, like, specifically, even in this movie, there's a scene where it's early on in the film, and he's holding Elizabeth Swann hostage to get away from the British guards, and he has her, like, take his hat and sword and, like, gun and redress him with all of those items. And it's this, like, very creepy moment where he's kind of smiling knowingly over her shoulder to the guy that's trying to, like, get engaged to her. And I don't remember it being as creepy when I saw it when I was 13, but then again, I don't think I was watching it with, as, like, the knowing eyes that I have now that I've developed. But it was even creepier considering the things that have come out about him in recent news. It just wasn't, there was no part of it that could be lighthearted or funny or forgiving. It just was uncomfortable. And so I think with a new movie, with him being the lead and with him having a similar role, I just think there's opportunity to have those moments again where it's like, you just really can't do this anymore. This is not, it doesn't work.
Which I think is ultimately, like, interesting, because I think there's still kind of a kernel of interesting truth to the idea that here's these stories we've heard all along, like Davy Jones' Locker or... Blackbeard and all these characters that you hear but don't necessarily know the stories, and so you can dive into it, and there's this folklore and these legends that are built up that can actually be played out on screen. And I don't think Captain Jack Sparrow is necessary for those stories to be told, and I think those stories are ultimately interesting enough to be told in terms of how well they tell it. Because it's like, you have just enough familiarity with the source material to where they can, like,
do whatever they want with it.
Yeah, and provide you with more context.
Yeah, sure.
Like, it's an interesting idea to take something that, like, culturally we know about and then to build a story around it
that is unfamiliar to us. And I really like that idea.
I do too. As someone who loves reading and watching fantasy and understands those references, I would love to see more of those, but just like without Captain Jack Sparrow. Like, I just, I'm over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though I'm definitely going to rewatch the second
one. The only other movie I can think of like that is Thor, where they take those, like, that mythology and they put it on film and they do a real loose interpretation on it to have a fun action movie.
Yeah. Like, you've heard of Thor, you've heard of, like, Loki. Odin has.
Loki, yeah.
Has, like,
gods of
mythological. Yeah.
Not all of them get as much success.
Or are as good of a quality.
Yeah, right.
In all honesty.
Yeah.
Gods of Egypt is definitely not up there.
No.
In terms of quality. So to continue off that thread, I would love to briefly talk about, like, what are other stories that I think just you get hints of that you would love to see fleshed out to a larger, like, folk tales, legends, mythology. What are some other stories that you've heard kind of growing up that you would love to see fleshed out into stories on the big screen, as it would be said?
Does the Kraken count as a giant squid?
Yeah. The Kraken's... What do you mean?
Like, I think giant... Like, the giant squid are fascinating. Uh-huh. And the fact that we, like, never see them. And every once in a while, this video will surface of, like, we found one. And it's even bigger than the last one we thought we found.
Like, you want a story around that idea.
That or Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster.
I was just thinking about Nessie.
Nessie, yeah. Could be interesting.
Yeah. Just where, like Cloverfield, where you hardly ever see the monster. Or maybe you see
really
it in like one
into
scene.
These big, yeah, mysterious monsters.
Yeah.
Like Godzilla. I think I've mentioned before that I'm like really into Godzilla.
Godzilla and Nessie are totally different though. Godzilla is like destructive and gigantic and a danger to everyone. Where Nessie is like a... Does it exist?
Or is Godzilla just like misunderstood?
Yeah, like that's the interesting thing.
Depends
about
on which
Godzilla
movie you watch, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or all these characters in general, it's like kind of embodies this idea of something that is ultimately destructive, that is unknown and huge, that we can't comprehend. But I think the ultimate turn is that, like, that big beast ultimately fights for us in a weird way, which
I
is
just
like,
got a really wild idea.
Let's hear it.
Okay. You know that movie Cowboys versus Aliens?
Yes.
What if it was Pirates versus Transformers?
Dive into that.
Yeah. Tell me more.
Tell me more. Tell me more.
And this is still on like that mythology that you want to see fleshed out
no,
kind of topic?
No, I don't know. I just, it was an idea that came to mind.
Well, I think that would be really interesting. Like, so
like,
is it the Transformers come to a pirate-based time, or do the pirates get transported to a Transformers world?
The pirates are exploring, and they, like, go into some cave on an island.
Find the
And they discover a Transformer, and then it, like, awakens Transformers. And it's, like, this other plot line about, like, a past time when Transformers were on Earth.
And I think we basically get into steampunk at that point. Because, like, if you take the pirate aesthetic, mix that with Transformers,
wow,
basically a steampunk.
So true.
So I imagine, like, pirates finding the Transformers, they figure out a way to take some of the Transformers. I mean, you still have the Decepticons that, like, go on their own way for ultimate destruction. But the pirates take the good guys and kind of tinker with them and meld the two aesthetics to create steampunk, and that is the ultimate invention of steampunk.
And then it's basically Mad Max on water.
There's only one ship faster than the Interceptor.
But I could see
Bumblebee.
But I could also see, like, there being a plot line where, like, the British soldiers are making a deal with the Decepticons.
Yes.
And maybe the reason why this works is that the Transformers and the Decepticons have some vulnerabilities when it comes to water. So they actually, like, need the pirate technology to be able to navigate a sea seaward landscape.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could see
the wayfinding and things like
that. I could see it working.
That sounds cool. I'm into that idea.
Yeah. Also, seeing, like, the Kraken face down with Decepticons could be cool.
I think that would be cool.
Yeah, tentacles and metal.
Like,
yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Like, the Kraken comes out during a Autobots and Decepticons fight, and then, yes. Like, so it's kind of ends up turning into a three-way fight where the Autobots and Decepticons are fighting each other, but, like, also the Kraken's just in there for the fun of it.
I could see that being a great reveal in the film, too, right? Like, in the trailer, you would see, like, you know, the Decepticons and the Autobots, like, fighting each other, and there'd be this, like, I don't know, like a rumble in the ocean that you wouldn't really think that much of. But then in the theater, the rumble in the ocean would turn into the Kraken, like coming out and like smacking down between the two.
Yes.
And you'd be like, no way, the Kraken.
Or like.
And then someone would bring out shots of Kraken for everyone. Like, yeah, it's the Kraken. And you'd all just get lit in the
Wait,
theater.
In the trailer or in the theater?
In the theater.
Oh, they made a deal with every theater in America.
Yeah.
That's very impressive.
Limited edition.
Yeah.
Viral marketing.
I had another idea.
Hollywood, call me. I got tons of ideas.
Okay, here's another one.
Okay.
You see an ad spot, a 30-second ad spot for Transformers, followed for a 30-second ad spot for the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie, and then, like, they crash into each other in the second trailer. Because they actually bought a minute ad spot for the combined
movie.
So
you think
that
it's actually two separate trailers?
That's good.
That's really cool.
That's a really good idea.
I really like it. Like, there's the green, like, this trailer has been approved for, and then Optimus Prime just punches through it, and the squid Kraken lands on top of something like that.
Yeah.
Thankfully, both a Transformers film and a Pirates of the Caribbean film are coming out in the same year.
Oh, you're not wrong.
Yeah, this could be a possibility in
two franchises. I've just been counting down 3 weeks, counting down the days for.
I didn't get Fast and Furious and Terminator to overlap, so this would be a close second. If we could get Pirates of the Caribbean and Transformers,
what would get me in the theater.
Can we have a quick fact check and see if they're from the same studio?
Yes, I am looking at it right now.
Okay, great. Because I know that was part of the issue with Fast and Furious and Terminator.
Not really. They come out a month apart. One's from Paramount Pictures, Hasbro Studios, and the other one's just Disney.
Oh.
Well,
so, out of luck there, unfortunately.
Well, you know how Fox sold the rights to Spider-Man to Disney for use in Marvel? Like, maybe it could happen here.
Maybe.
There's hope.
It's more likely that 50 Shades of Furious will come out, though, because they're from the same studio.
50 Shades of Furious? And this is just Dom and Letty having, like, a good time together.
I don't know what it is.
I mean, I could see some of that, but I think there's also an element of kind of danger. Like, there's a movie called Crash, not the bad Crash, but another Crash about people whose fetish is to watch car crashes. So I imagine it's like, mix some of that in there with just some general BDSM and some other elements. And that would
and be... And a heist.
Yeah. Oh, and you definitely have a heist.
And a street race, if we're lucky.
And the heist is of just a BDSM shop for all the goods inside.
Oh, there we go.
So it's like a... you know, Fast and Furious has ultimately gone too big for itself. Yeah. So they pull it back.
It's a smaller universe.
It's just a local BDSM shop.
Only in L.A.
Yeah, only in L.A. They're at a moment where they're hurting for money, so they need to heist this BDSM shop to, like, ultimately satisfy each other. And that's how it goes.
Or, like, I don't know, this is a weird idea.
We're already on a weird track.
All right, what if Dom is, like, he's a masochist, and he, you know, he wants to be hurt, but... As we all know, he's invincible and he can't be hurt. And we've watched 7 movies of him trying to hurt himself and not being able to. So he has to, like, watch other people get in car crashes. And
to hurt through other people because he can't hurt himself.
Exactly.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. That's a whole new level.
Yeah, you could dive very deep.
Like, if they wanted to just continue doing weird shit in the Fast and Furious universe where Dom becomes a very strange character like he did in this last movie, like, that's another direction they could go.
That's character development right there.
Yeah.
If I've ever seen any.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that would be different.
Well, we've gone off on a weird tangent
today. We have gone off of a couple weird tangents, but I think
most of this is my fault. I'm sorry.
I enjoyed it.
No, I think this is all good stuff, and I think...
it's all good stuff.
It's all good. It's all good.
We're good pirates, baby.
So if we were to talk about Pirates of the Caribbean, and to close out with like a score or something, where are you sitting at on this film? Because it was an interesting time watching this film. I think we all struggle with films that are over 2 hours long.
Mm, yeah.
That is just our issue that we have to work through ourselves. But would you rate this film? What are your general thoughts?
If I had to give a score to Pirates of the Caribbean, I'd give it to Hans Zimmer. Just like...
I see what you did there.
Because he did a great job with the score.
He really did.
Yeah. And Hans. Leanna and I bizarrely got to see Hans Zimmer play the score for Pirates of the Caribbean like a month ago, which was a cool experience and got me excited about watching this movie. But if I were to give it a numerical score, I'd say like on a scale of 1 to 10, maybe a 7. Like, pretty good for a live-action Disney adventure movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a lot better than Tomorrowland, that's for sure.
Was that the last Disney live-action adventure movie?
Based off of a theme park or ride in Disneyland itself.
I just realized that.
It all comes back.
Oh, is that the
you
one?
Completely forgot. Is that the really
boring? Is there a Space Mountain in Tomorrowland?
Yes, the Tomorrowland area encompasses Space Mountain, Star Tours, all of that stuff.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh.
Wow.
That is
I did not
what
put that together.
I was kind of excited
about that movie because I like George Clooney, and then it got really bad reviews.
And it was directed by Brad Bird as well, and I've loved his stuff. So kind of a bummer that turned out how it did.
What about you guys?
I would probably give it around a 70 to 75%. Like, I think I still recognize that it's a fun film and I had a great experience and I've had great experiences with this film, but ultimately in this viewing there was a couple things that like struck me as odd and unsettling to a certain bit, and I didn't dive into Johnny Depp's character as much as I did in the past, and honestly the writing and the duality and the repetition of the words kind of took me out of it a little bit, just because it went so heavy in that.
Once we noticed it was so hard not to.
Yeah, and so in this viewing, I didn't enjoy it as much.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you at that, like, 7 out of 10, 75%. Like, that feels just about right for this film, watching it today. However, I still, like, and part of the reason why I would even give it that high of a score, despite the problems that I had with it, it's just that, like, I still really want to, like, I want to watch the next couple of films. Like, I'm interested in the universe. I want to know the story. I, even though a lot of the characters were problematic, I still want to know what they're going to do next. Like, I don't know what it is about them, but it hooked me. Yep. And it hooked me when I was 13. And even now, since apparently I can't remember what happens in any of the movies, like, I need to watch it again to find out.
Is the next one Dead Man's Chest?
Yes.
I wish that they just called him 1, 2, 3, 4. I've had such a hard time just figuring out what the first one was to watch this weekend. I had a really hard time figuring it out. I had to spend more time than I wanted to figuring that out. Although, if you just look at the posters, it's the worst one.
How long is Dead Man's Chest?
Ooh, that's great.
I would guess too long. 151 minutes.
Woo.
That's another 2.5 hour movie.
It's a little longer than this one.
Yeah. That's enough time to...
There's also a drop in quality after the first one.
Yeah. The tomato meter just starts dropping quickly. But if you want to do it, I'll sit on the couch next to you and I will play Nintendo Switch.
I would actually love to hear your experience about watching through it. So it, please do.
I will.
And like, maybe we can do a short 20-minute podcast about...
Like a follow-up?
Yeah. Just your experience with it. Because I think that might be interesting.
Just me watching full-time, Andre watching half attention, you not watching at all. Yeah. We'll have a follow-up.
Yes. Yeah, like I'll be the person asking the questions. You can be the person answering.
Sounds great. I'm into it.
Well, that has been another podcast, another episode of Munch. We just watched the Pirates of the Caribbean, the Curse of the Black Pearl.
I almost said Dead Man's Chest.
I mean, that's another one, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's the second one. It's the one I'm watching next.
And then it's World's End, then it's Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Possibly. Quite possibly.
All right, we're going to say that that's what it is.
Yeah.
You can trust us.
It's we 1, 2, 3, 4, but they just don't call them that.
We're experts.
Yeah.
I'm going to say I'm your host, Ben. We have Andre and Liana here as well. We have one final question before we go out. Where do you keep your ketchup? Is it in the refrigerator or do you leave it out?
In the fridge.
This is a great debate to weigh in on.
Unopened? It's not.
No, opened.
Opened. In the fridge.
In the fridge?
Yeah, fridge.
Fridge? All right, I'm fridge as well.
Who's safety not first? Fridge?
A lot of people.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
Do they, what? Once you open it, does it not say keep refrigerated on it?
It does, but you don't actually need to keep it in.
I always follow the directions.
Some people don't like it cold.
Ben, this is blowing my mind.
It's a hot debate. And
although I guess with tomatoes, you're not supposed to put them in the fridge because they get mealy.
And there's a lot of vinegar in it.
Yep.
Wow.
I don't really like cold ketchup. I prefer room temperature ketchup. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know you could.
Yeah, you can. It's a hot debate. Munch is the place you can look for resolution on hot debates. This has been another episode. Good day.
Did we do all of our, like, where to catch us at?
Mm-mm.
You can find all of our content at Twitter, which we are just Get Munched Up. On Facebook, we are Munch or Munch Blog. You can find us on Instagram. It's Get Munched Up. On Pinterest, we are Get Munched Up. And you can find a lot of our content that we put a lot of time into, and as well as photos of our food at GetMunchedUp.com. And we would love it if you rate, comment, and subscribe on this podcast. It helps us out greatly, and we will be eternally grateful for all your help. And finally, we would love to answer questions from you, the audience. We are people who have great opinions and great answers for your life's hardest questions and problems.
Especially ones related to food.
Very hot takes.
But more than we can do more than food. We have the ability.
We can do cold takes. We like cold food. If you followed us on Twitter, you would know that.
Yeah, we like both hot and cold takes and food. But yeah, you can send those emails to getmunchedup@gmail.com. Or there's a form field on our website. But you know what? Just hit us up.
We're out there.
We're out there. Now I can actually say good day.